Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist for November 6th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Salutations, everyone.
A.k.a.
Salutations.
Kevin Spacey's weed dealer.
A.k.a. Professor of Trapanese.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian Solomon Giorgio.
Hi.
Hey,
hello.
Man.
I'm happy to be here.
We are thrilled to have you.
Oh, thank you.
So let's dive right into it. Let's get our listeners knowing who you are. What is something that you have searched in the recent past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Well, my last search was whether or not I should get a pressure cooker over a slow cooker.
I mean, I think the name answers the question, like slow cooker versus pressure cooker.
Well, I learned that electronic pressure cookers are also slow cookers.
Oh.
So it's really, I should just get the pressure cooker because you can get, it's like the slow cooker, but faster.
Right. And it's exactly.
Is there any reason to, like at this day and age where there are pressure cookers, is there any reason for a slow cooker at this point?
You know what? I don't want to weigh in on that. You should read the article that I looked up and completely forgot about afterwards.
Yeah. Just to me, I mean, I'm no expert, but I'm going to say, why waste your time with a slow cooker?
I have used both.
And what sayest thou?
So the pressure cooker is great because it's like really fast and but not like faster than a microwave. You know, it's like fast compared to a slow cooker, but it still takes like an hour. But you'll be amazed at like the stuff you can get out. Like the meat feels like it's been slow braised or whatever. The one like weird thing is that like there's a lot of pressure built up. And if you're stupid like me and like accidentally like open a valve or something at the wrong time, you like get steam shot at your face, which is scary.
That's why your neck's all red.
Yeah. Okay. You see like this bubbling thing back here.
I thought it was just a weird birthmark that emerged last night.
Slow cooker is dope because you can just like put stuff in there before you go to bed and then,
set it and forget it.
And voila, friends. The only thing is that if you like put the wrong thing in there, sometimes you'll like wake up and it'll be like a solid mass at the bottom because
all the water's
like,
evaporated. Yeah. Cooked off.
So that's how I fucked up both of those things. I would recommend the pressure cooker.
All right.
I'm just for my own curiosity. What do you like to cook? This is another thing that always reveals things about people.
Well, I cook a lot of comfort food. Which is a big problem. I want to get healthier, but I'm like, you can just make a lasagna and then.
Okay.
So that's, I tend to just do like lasagnas, pasta, and like rarely do I add vegetables to them, which
that's
is a shameful.
My man, I like that. Okay, perfect.
That sounds delicious. What is something that you believe to be overrated other than vegetables?
Recently I would say, Stranger Things 2.
Oh,
yeah.
It's coming for you, Miles.
I like that. Well, hold on. We might agree.
Well, I think there was an added bully to this season that I hated so much that had zero purpose and made a lot of it very unwatchable for me.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so my understanding, having not seen it, so I can't spoil anything.
Yeah.
Is that because the bully from last year is now like kind of been redeemed, they needed like a new bully and they just go over the top with it.
Well, because the bully from last season wasn't really that shitty of a person.
Right.
So that was a great thing about it. But now it's like, okay, you're just making, and it was like a terrible excuse for why he was so mean. And there's also one episode that like was fun, but literally had nothing to do with the main storyline, did not. There's things that weren't, it just did too much and it got to me.
What is something that you believe to be underrated?
Underrated, I would probably, I still am a champion of it because I just saw her in concert the other day, and that's Kesha's new album.
Oh!
I think it's underrated and way more people should be listening to it.
When did the album come out?
I think at least the first single came out a few months ago, and I think the whole album was out like a month or two ago.
Gotcha.
You're the second person I've heard that from, so.
Yeah,
were you a Kesha fan prior to this album?
I was a Kesha fan prior to this album, but this album, she did go above and beyond. She has one song with the horn section from the Dap Kings.
Oh, wow.
And two songs where she got helped from the Eagles of Death Metal. And it's amazing.
Wow. I like those features.
I like it.
All right. We're going to get into format. Before we get into the stories, we like to state our purpose up top. The Daily Zeitgeist. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether you're paying attention or not. We talk about politics and the president and the news, but we also talk about fun stuff like movies and today, supermarket tabloids. It's tabloid day, you guys. So we're going to take a look at the covers of tabloids because millions and millions of people pass those every day and they can read, so they read the words. Some of them at least can read, and so they read the words, and those ideas are in their head. You know, so that's what's going swimming around in Americans' head on any given day. We're also going to add to the list of cultural things we talk about Oprah's favorite things. We're going to do a quick rundown of those because those just dropped on all of us. But up first, we are going to talk about daylight savings time because you're all dealing with that. I guess you're all dealing with a extra hour of sleep right now.
Yeah, this is the best one. This is the best of all the daylight savings.
The good daylight savings.
Fall back.
But yeah, it's not so good in the spring when we spring forward and lose an hour of sleep. And overall, it's just somewhat annoying. I think it's sort of like a thing that comedians like to complain about more than it actually bothers real people in their life. But
do you do a daylight savings bit?
I have. I rarely even know when it's happening.
Right. Yeah. So now I have had experiences in the last couple of years where I don't know what's happened. My phone just like does the thing because, man, these iPhones, wave of the future, you guys.
Yeah, and then you feel crazy when you wake up and you're like, nah, it ain't 8.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to just feel weird tonight when it gets dark an hour earlier.
Right.
Yeah. That's the trade-off, I guess.
Right.
Darkness earlier is not my friend.
But isn't this darkness later or...
It's darkness earlier.
Darkness earlier.
Yeah.
And
it's
already getting darker.
And I don't think... I have the issue with that. It's like, I don't want to, it's supposed to be like, if you're up early enough, you'll get more daylight, but no one wants daylight when they have to go and be at work.
No.
Right.
They want that little sliver of daylight where they're truly free from their burdens of the day.
Exactly.
The thing that I had always heard was that it was like based on farmers, because farmers like needed for some reason the time to match up with their day, even though they like wake up at like 3 a.m. anyways. But that's apparently not true.
And
American farmers actually voted against it when it was first introduced as a possibility. So we can actually trace the idea back to Benjamin Franklin, who noticed that he was sleeping longer in the mornings when he was over in France around this time, and suggested that the military shoot off cannons to get people out of bed earlier so that by the time it got dark, they'd have gotten everything done that they needed to do for that day.
So this guy, just because he was partying in France and was like, man, I don't like that I'm waking up all late, he's like, fire the cannons earlier so I can get my ass out of bed.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever read the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin?
It's I've read the autobiography of Puff Daddy.
Yeah. So it's similar, but he basically invented the whole like self-help genre of books in his autobiography. It's all about like self-improvement. Mm-hmm. Like he was kind of a bummer. Like
he
liked to party. Yeah. And then he had the Poor Richard's Almanac.
Which was had a lot of those tips in it that he gave to people. Yeah.
Yeah. Penny saved is a penny earned. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's dope. It's pretty good. It still comes out.
A lot of things, a lot of things that we do every day for no good reason is just because one white guy was slightly inconvenienced 100 years ago.
Good to know.
There you go.
That's how I'm going to push back.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I don't acknowledge this. This is some Ben Franklin oppressive shit.
So the idea of changing the clocks was actually first introduced in England by the British Parliament in 1908. But it was unsuccessful because it's stupid. But then in 1915, everyone's favorite type of white guy, Germany, was like, hey, war is expensive. We've got to find ways to, you know, cut some of these costs. And so they implemented daylight savings. And then Britain and the other world powers followed right after that. The U.S. got on board in 1918.
Wait, so what was the cost cutting exactly?
I think it was legitimately to save like candle wax. And then,
wow.
So they, recently we've been like, wait, what the fuck are we doing this for?
Right.
And, research has shown that people actually go out and do more in the afternoons, I guess in the spring when there's the fall forward, when like basically time matches up more to the clock and you have like more daylight in the evenings, people spend more money, essentially. And that's, it's like this conglomerate of, it's called the Association for Convenience and Fuel Retailing. So it's basically just like a conglomerate of 7-Elevens. But they've been pushing to start daylight savings time even earlier in the year. And in 2010, the head of that organization reported that it would have made them an estimated $1 billion in sales because of just how much more people spend and are willing to, like, go out into the world when it's light out. But so Indiana recently did a study because so a lot of the stuff that – a lot of the assumptions that used to be made about, like, how we spend our power in our homes – like, no longer applies. They used to think it was, like, we spend or we use most of our power on lights, but that's not the case anymore. It's more like gadgets and air conditioning. And so things have changed, and Indiana did a study fairly recently, I think with Yale, that found that it actually, in this new world order, costs the population $9 million annually, like, is spent just social cost. And then also because there are, like, all these health problems that are caused by it. There's pollution caused by the increased energy use, which obviously has a social cost. They put it at between $1.7 and $5.5 million a year. But then there's also things like car accidents go up because people are driving to work in on darker streets, and so they're more likely to, like, hit people.
So this is the devil's work, is what it sounds like.
Essentially, because it's like a quick change, you know? It's like all of a sudden you're driving to work and it's like nighttime, where, like, if we didn't do anything, your mind and body would, like, sort of, and eyes would adjust to the change a little bit. It also, the week after daylight savings is one of the worst times for, you see a jump in strokes and heart attacks, because apparently when people lose an hour of sleep, it, like, really fucks with their,
holy shit,
bodies.
Jeez.
Fucking Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Come
dude.
On.
So
what do we do?
Daylight
so we
savings.
Just, what do we just, should I, so, I'm gonna put my clock forward.
I think California, Alaska, and Rhode Island are all considering ballot initiatives. So call your local politician.
And it's not even a function of, like, the Earth traveling around the sun and that we need to do that for the sake of anything. It's just – this is just complete – it's all man-made?
Yeah.
Because
fucking hell, dude. I really thought this was some science-based shit.
No, because it's an hour. You're just taking 1 hour and you're giving it back. It's like basic bookkeeping. It has nothing. It has no effect on anything.
Yeah, you're taking an hour of sunlight and putting it, like, on one side of the workday or the other.
No, keep it on that other side.
Yeah,
I like more light. I want to go outside. It's 7 o'clock and there's still, like, there's a glimmer of sunlight.
Yeah.
Like, well, also, if I'm waking up early in the morning and it's still dark, it's fine. It's a terrible time to be up. I don't want to go do whatever I'm doing at that hour.
That's
so.
True. Yeah. And then if you wake up, it's too bright. You're like, damn, what am I doing?
Right. And then Ben Franklin's like, no, you've got to get out of bed. Get shit done. Hurry up.
Don't waste your cannons.
Yeah, exactly. Don't waste that wax. All right. We're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, Bloid Watch. And we're back. Great break, you guys.
That was a great break.
Hope you relaxed, took some time to cough, clear your throat, like my friend Chris, who's visiting
In studio guest Chris,
who I've known since I was 7 years old, is here.
Why don't you brag about it?
okay. I will.
Just bitter that my friend isn't in.
So, Bloid Watch, what are we seeing on the covers? I feel like the MVPs of the tabloid covers right now are John F. Kennedy, because of the release of the documents. There's all sorts of JFK things. I think I've learned by looking just at the covers that Oswald worked for the CIA, and also that JFK was killed by a Soviet spy, neither of which I totally believe.
We know what you believe.
There we go.
And Jack,
that's how
you're
seriously
saying,
they take me. Yeah. This is the music they play when I start talking conspiracy theories.
Secret Service agent errantly shot him, which I actually did a little more reading into that. I prefer that of all the conspiracy theories about JFK's death.
There's actually, I went down a rabbit hole on that once, and there's actually a website trying to explain how Jackie O was actually the one that shot.
Oh, shit. Like, in the car, just was like...
It's fully built out. It's absolutely insane.
Can you give us the link? Do you know what that might be called?
I think it might be just Jackie Killed.
Oh, really?
But
Jackie Killed Jack.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but I definitely know it exists.
That's an amazing theory that now putting it next to my theory that a Secret Service agent accidentally did it makes me feel foolish. So I don't know. What else? The other sort of tabloid cover MVP... that I'm seeing on multiple covers is the Bieber weekend Selena love triangle.
Oh.
It's all over the unconscious. People are worried about that.
I read in one of the magazines said that she broke up. Selena broke up with the weekend over text. That's a shitty move.
Not cool.
And other people were speculating because she got her kidney health right. She was always going to go back to Justin.
I don't have a problem with the breaking up with someone over text.
Really?
I would happily take it that way. Don't drag me down somewhere. Say it to my face when I can get...
That's true. I've been broken up with in a restaurant. But we got the food. And then she broke up with me. And I couldn't fucking eat.
Right.
And I was like, bro, why'd I even waste this food?
Look, there's no way you can make a breakup good. I don't...
Yeah.
Right.
So just might as well do it over text, right?
We break up now. There you go. You're
great.
Done.
Do you care at all about the ongoing saga of Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber in any way?
I have not really invested in it.
I don't think many people are.
I love Selena Gomez herself. Mm-hmm. I really rather her not date Justin Bieber.
Why is that?
He's just something about him.
Yeah.
Something. I don't know what it is.
I don't like his new age Christianity thing. I'm not really buying it.
I'm just the way it looks. I have no idea what he is into.
Oh yeah, he was at some really cool hip young like Christian youth conference,
right,
like with like really hip pastors.
Right.
Like
yo, JC's like a pretty sick dude. Like
honestly,
he's pretty lit.
Okay, yeah, like the mega churches.
Yeah, right, but yeah. Like honestly, man, guys, like you can have a relationship with Christ, and it's not lame. You know, like I'm not like. I like to hang out. I have fun. And just because I opened Christ like and let him into my heart doesn't make me like a lame-o or whatever.
Oh, Christ love
and
you
I
guys.
Wrote a song about it. Yeah.
Justin hit it, but it looked like he was high as fuck.
Those
though,
guys
when
are
he was there.
Those guys are never more than 5 feet away from an acoustic guitar. At
no,
any
exactly.
Time. Yeah, so I don't know. At the same time, The Weeknd love his first three albums, his first three mixtapes, but since then, he's just kind of been sort of a boring dude. We were talking about it. Like, he seems
there's nothing wrong
like,
with that. That's the best part of him.
Yeah, I guess that's fine.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah, especially if you like Selena. You do want a boring boyfriend for her.
No, that he's Ethiopian, but he's also Canadian. So it's you kind of.
Right.
Like, it's like what. Yeah. Like, Drake in real life is boring as hell, too. It's one of those things where you're like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's what they all say. Yeah, a lot of people say Drake is just really not. That great, like, doesn't party as hard, like, as his rapping would suggest.
Yeah. And what's really wrong with that?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think that's a problem. I guess it's interesting when you think of, like, oh, The Weeknd, man, he's, like, such a this great artist, and I think people just build up this idea in their head.
Like, so dark, and, like, I mean, those first three albums were dark as fuck, man.
Yeah. They just described, like, really odd relationships.
Like, yeah, that's,
I left my girl back home. Yeah. I don't love her no more, and she'll never fucking know that.
Mm-hmm.
These fucking eyes that I'm staring at. Yo.
No, we're just going to do this for the rest of the podcast, actually. He's just going to stare
spoken
at
word
me
Abel Tesfaye.
Spoken word.
But I think a lot of artists are just boring in real life. Like, I remember when Snoop Dogg came out with his TV show, and it's like, when he's not doing his rap videos, he's a dad. And he's taking his kids to football.
Yeah, and he's like a coach.
Yeah, that makes sense, but that's not going to be a good song.
But he's doing it all high as fuck.
Right.
Well, so I guess that makes it, that elevates a little bit. You go from just being the dad who's a football coach, like, yo, Coach Snoop is like fucking getting so high. He called me the wrong name again.
Do you think he's, like, I have certain friends who just never stop smoking, and it's pretty clearly because they have ADD, and, like, that's their ADD medication is just, like, that's the only way they can, like, focus. Do you think that's what's going on with Snoop, or do you think he's just like having fun that whole time? He's just like,
I think he just functions that
I
way.
Think he's, right. But I think, yeah, I like it for me, it shuts me down. I'm gone for the
whole
day.
Yeah, I can't talk to people.
But my brother, he's like, he was an aggro kid, but now he smokes weed all the time. He's just the chillest person in the world.
It's
not even, you didn't even think he was like the most violent little child.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it just helps me get over my parents' divorce.
Yeah.
To this day. So on.
There you go. Hey,
yeah.
You'll never have to confront it.
Yeah, never. Cause I'm so high. I'm like, yo, why'd you do her like that, dude? Oh man, I'm hungry. I'm gonna get Taco Bell now. Motherfucking problem.
Otherwise, I didn't see too much. I guess Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx are on again. It's a fucking roller coaster we've been riding these past few weeks.
I didn't even know about that one.
That they were together?
I'm
in secret.
Oh, see, I used to channel surf, so I was able to get all this tabloid information before, but now that I have all the streaming services, I'm just...
Yeah.
I'm in...
locked in. Locked into Stranger Things, too.
Yeah, well, their whole thing is Katie had to not, like, couldn't publicly date for 5 years or whatever. It was, like, a stipulation of her divorce to Tom Cruise.
Sweet.
For real? So,
that's why they were, like, creeping on... Because they had said they were dating secretly for many, many years.
What a wounded, like... Just egotistical, like, thing for him to be like, no, you can't get over me for 5 years, according to
our
divorce.
Well, at least not in public.
Right. That's so
just don't throw it in my face.
But, like, is that a legal stipulation you can put on somebody else that they can't do this thing?
I'm sure.
I can bring up the legalese of it, but there was something about it. Like, she couldn't talk about, there was a lot of, like, non-disclosure kind of things. And I think one of them was.
I hate Tom Cruise so much.
Hey, well, you know, we can go take our grievances up with the church.
We are within eyesight of the Scientology.
And they're listening to us now. I think one good thing was in the Globe that I really liked was Kim Jong-un's plot to snatch Jennifer Aniston.
Mm.
Lovesick dictator wants dream girl all for himself. And then, like, next to it, it says, freaky friends fanboy. I just love the alliteration in this magazine.
It was that in a direct quote. We talked last week about how they always attribute quotes to anonymous sources.
No.
But the anonymous sources, like, speak in alliteration and, like, they're sick punk.
Well, this one, I mean, I had no idea that he was so obsessed. Other people in the room said this was, like, a known thing, that he is a huge Friends fan.
Yeah.
But apparently he had tried, supposedly, according to a CIA contract agent, whatever that means.
Right.
But, like, what you... You freelance as a janitor in the building or something.
Right.
In Paris, like, he had a plan to swoop her up, but because they say the reasons why it was thwarted is because, like, her security was so tight and her husband, Justin Theroux, was by her side all the time. Like, as if you're really
gonna... Yeah, that's what stops.
Yeah. I mean, they straight up murked his brother, like, with a fake prank show. I think you could snatch up somebody by force pretty easily if you're really about that life. So, who knows?
No. But also, it's always weird when people choose, like, all these, like, monsters and are just surprised that they're into something normal.
Right.
Hey, did you know that Hitler's into art and that Osama bin Laden's been watched the Charlie?
Charlie bit my finger video. Oh my god!
Wow, what's so surprising that this readily available popular thing can be enjoyed by all?
I thought his favorite hobby was just baby stabbing or something like that. Yeah,
Hitler loved adorable things. He loved Disney. He loved, like, dogs.
What am I saying? No,
Americana, like Coca-Cola products.
Let's not be surprised by that.
Yeah, people can be evil and human at the same time. And shout outs to Kim Jong-un, you know, he's a big NBA fan of the 90s, so.
Yeah.
We have that common ground.
MJ.
Yeah. Huge Bulls fan. I think, like, isn't that, like, why him and Dennis Rodman have such a great, like, relationship? It's because, like, he's like, oh my god, Dennis Rodman from favorite Bulls team is, like, talking to me.
The second three-peat. Yeah. That is why Vice, one of the more brilliant things they've done. A Vice show is actually the first place I saw.
Oh yes,
you,
I was on one. Yes,
on Flophouse.
Mm-hmm.
They came up with the idea of just grabbing Dennis Rodman because they knew he was such a fan of Jordan and those Bulls, and just send him over there.
How
and
did
see
they
if
pitch
they
that to Dennis Rodman?
I don't know.
First, they had to
Dennis
find
Rodman's the fuck up for everything.
Yeah,
they just had to kick over a bunch of garbage and was like, hey.
Whoa, Dennis Rodman.
You want to go?
Whoa, that reminds me. I have an idea for a show. Hey, man, get the fuck out of my trash. Dennis Rodman?
What else? What are you guys seeing?
I mean, there's one. Sean Penn is terrified that El Chapo is going to kill him.
Which, really? I'm not going to say that I'd be okay with that, but Sean Penn's not my favorite dude in the world.
No, no.
Among the most self-important.
Again, a great example of how the tabloids use just quotation marks around like anything they write to make it seem like it's a quote from someone.
Right.
It just says, Sean is frightened out of his wits, says a source close to the Mystic River star. Of all the movies, Mystic River? Okay. But, I mean, that was a good one. But it's like, who says frightened out of his wits? That's like something, again, like a 70-year-old tabloid writer is just doing like, yeah, frightened out of his wits. I don't think I've ever said that in earnest.
So
right.
El Chapo was into this actress who wanted to meet up with El Chapo because these monsters, like that is a way that they're trying to like get these monsters. They tried to get Joseph Kony to meet with Angelina Jolie and like had the, you know, U.S. Special Forces like waiting in the bushes, but they couldn't. They basically, Angelina Jolie, as they were planning it, just like ghosted them, was like, oh, I got other stuff going on.
I was going to do it, but then I was like, you know what? I don't want to be bait for an African dictator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so this actress actually was like carrying on a conversation with El Chapo. And then Sean Penn like sort of insinuated himself into the situation and like they went and met with him. He brought, I think, journalists with him that footage ended up in the Netflix documentary. But El Chapo then was caught soon after that and, like, thinks that they, like, basically turned him in.
Set me up.
Yeah. So, and if El Chapo's listening, he totally did that shit, dude.
That's exactly what happened.
Sean Penn.
Hey, and El Chapo, what do you think of Chapo Trap House? Are you going to come after them for
big
a trademark
fan, infringement? Big fan.
Yeah. Great, great podcast.
I'm sure he's.
Do you think they're shook over there? Probably not.
Yeah, I think originally it was Sean Penn was writing a story for Rolling Stone and like brought all these cameras and stuff. I was listening to that actress being interviewed fairly recently, and like they were like, it was so scandalous. Like, did you have an affair with Sean Penn? Did you not? She was like, no, there's nothing scandalous about it. We had sex. And it was like on NPR. I was like, yeah, all right,
cool.
All right. Cool. So, all right, we're going to move on to Donald Trump's has not always been the best at responding to tragedies.
Say what?
We saw this last week when he immediately politicized the attacks in New York, which I don't know. Like, it didn't bother me, but at the same time, he also was anti-politicizing or talking about gun control in the aftermath of Vegas. So,
well, if it doesn't serve his purpose,
right.
Why touch it?
And he also, was calling the, terrorist in this case, an animal all over the place, but he didn't use that language.
And also advocating for the death penalty, right. Like, before there's even a trial.
Right.
Thanks for tainting that jury pool.
Yeah. So, yes, strong, steady leadership that we look for in a president in the aftermath of, a terror attack. But we wanted to take a look back. One of our writers went back through his history of responding to sort of national flashbulb type tragedies. And Solomon, we wanted to kind of quiz you on whether you remember it or not. And if you don't, like trying to guess like what just the general gist of his response to the tragedy of these tragedies was.
So, yeah, so for a moment, try to enter Donald Trump's mind.
Right.
Oh God, it's getting really...
it's getting dark.
Really
in
dark
here.
And scattered.
Let's talk Charlie Hebdo. So the Charlie Hebdo attack, the... satire paper in Paris was attacked. A bunch of people were shot and killed. And, you know, it was just a national tragedy for France and, you know, global tragedy. So in the aftermath of that, he tweeted his thoughts on it. What would you guess his tweet was?
Obama created ISIS, sent them to kill Hebdo. That's my closest guess.
His actual response that he probably tweeted that before this, but the one that we've chosen is, quote, if the morons who killed all those people at Charlie Hebdo would have just waited, the magazine would have folded. - No money, no success! ! So I just started talking shit about how unsuccessful the magazine was.
Yeah, because those the people who the gunman's aim was to be like, I want to put you in a terrible financial situation.
Right.
They're like, what the
just the fact that he like couldn't keep himself from just like talking shit about another business.
Wow, but that's a wonderful weird take. I couldn't predict it, and I thought I would have been able to figure him out.
I guess in a way that's a more peaceful ending because he's like, well, then you wouldn't have to kill anybody because the magazine would have folded.
But it's just so petty and just like I don't know, shitty to be like, it's not that good a magazine. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's just like at least you could. You know, the response was sort of talking about how it was an important magazine, clearly, if it made these people that angry. Mm-hmm. And his response was like, wasn't that big a deal? I don't know why they did that.
And then contrast that with what Obama said. I strongly condemn the horrific shooting at the offices of Charlie Hebdo, a magazine in Paris that has reportedly killed 12 people. Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims of this terrorist attack and the people of France at this difficult time. France is America's oldest ally and has stood shoulder to shoulder with the United States in the fight against terrorists who threaten our shared security and the world. He goes on with more
I was just
whack.
Like paragraphs upon paragraphs of the like, right thing to say.
All right. The aftermath of Princess Diana's death is actually a good one. This one isn't actually a tweet because Twitter did not exist.
Oh, my God. He actually had a public response to that?
There are people who were around him in the aftermath of her death who he talked about like his response, like what he said was repeated. This is what he talked about in the aftermath of that with regards to Princess Diana.
Yeah. So in any time he had an interview and Princess Diana was brought up, he had a thing that he kept touching on.
Oh,
so
man.
So you're Donald Trump. Hey, Donald Trump, what do you think about Princess Diana's death?
It only sucks when the pretty ones die.
Oh, man, that's...
That's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's not
I
bad.
I assumed it would be something that off.
No, it was basically, I could have fucked her.
Oh,
essentially.
God.
Only weeks after her death, he was already making claims about the likelihood that Princess Diana would have succumbed to his charms.
I would rather die in a car accident.
Seriously. Maybe that was like the sliding door scenario that she was like, oh no.
This is your fork in the road. Select. Oh, please.
right
into the K-Row.
Right into my death.
Succumb to his subtle charms, which we heard about his subtle wooing techniques on the Dateline tape.
Right.
Of how he subtly approaches
them. But the actual quote is like, Stone Phillips asked Trump if he thought, I don't know why, he's like, if he thought he would have had a chance with Diana.
Well, because he heard everybody saying, like,
yeah. He's like, so you think you had a chance? And he says, I think so, yeah. I always have a shot.
Oh, God. Oh.
That's just, I mean, come on.
Like, that shows a complete inability to think about women as anything other than sexual objects and, like, objects
gross body
of conquest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a total sociopath. Yeah. I mean, he can't even acknowledge that someone died. Like, and be like, ah, that's terrible.
Nothing is more terrifying than an ugly man with confidence.
Ooh, telling me.
All right, the other two are somewhat well known, but we can see if you remember them. His response to the attacks of 9/11 and specifically the World Trade Center's falling down. He had a
direct response about that.
Yeah, a direct response to that.
Because I think that was when he made a statement about Muslims in New Jersey celebrating, right?
He did, yeah, which was a lie.
That's one of them, yeah, of the many shitty things he said.
Oh, my God, how many... Now he has the tallest... Now I have the tallest building in New York.
Ding, 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 ding. We need a sound effect for that.
Yeah, so we have to do janky mouth sound effects.
And then when they built the World Trade Center, it became known as the second tallest, and now it's the tallest, he said, talking about his building. God forbid something 9/11 level catastrophic happens to the country. And he's our president. That would be because
he
appears incapable of having a human response.
He would have a concert for himself in the aftermath.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. He also thinks a lot of these are jokes.
Right.
He's like, this is like the worst open mic we've ever been to. It's not fun at all.
Right.
Like, it's like you're bombing and bombing. Yeah. So can you?
Do you think he knows what's funny about himself? Because I feel like there's also a complete lack of awareness to it.
You haven't? Have you been to an open mic? Because that's exay what it is.
There you go. Okay.
It's just a lot of white guys with a lady with no self awareness.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back after that. And we're back. So we're bringing in our expert guest, super producer Anna Hosnier, who has been raving about this Oprah Winfrey.
Hey, yay!
I don't know
Hi,
why.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Is this your Oprah voice?
Yes.
Oprah guest voice?
Yes.
So this is a thing that she does every year, right? Around this time?
Correct.
Yes.
She drops a list of her favorite things.
Yes, right in time for the holidays, so right. Everyone knows what they're supposed to get their families.
So the list has like a cover image, which is Oprah on a sled being pulled by adorable little like corgis,
yes.
Or like
I would love
Jack
to
Russell
be
Terriers.
The person behind this photo shoot. Like, Oprah, what can we do? And she's like,
wow.
Big. We want to go big.
Right.
Huge. Sled dogs, everything.
Slay.
Right.
Slay, Oprah.
Yeah.
Literally slay on that sleigh.
Look, the fact that she is the cover of her own magazine every month yeah. is the most, the greatest thing I could ever imagine. I want that power.
Yeah, it's the power play of the century. It's like, I dare you to not have me on this goddamn cover every month. And this is the 20-year anniversary of Oprah's favorite thing, so this is a
Ooh.
Big year for us, you guys.
Well, you know why she's on the cover of every magazine is because that sells better than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well,
people
that makes sense.
Fucking
right.
love Oprah. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's smart as fuck.
I love Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I love Oprah.
And I don't even know anything. I've never seen a single thing. The only thing I know about her favorite things was that SNL sketch where the woman's head explodes. Or no, she gives birth.
Mm.
Do you remember that? No?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well,
no.
I'm 33 years old. See you later.
I recommend following her on Instagram as well.
What was her IG, Liddy?
Oof.
That was
what
perfect.
A life.
Oh, really?
It's
is
perfect.
It all just like, this is how a billionaire lives?
Yeah. She's like, look at me in my, like,
that
10
is the
acre
subtext
garden.
Of everything she's done
yeah.
for the past 15
Get
years.
Get on my fucking level.
Yeah. She's
I'm
always
Oprah.
Holding a basket full of veggies she picked out of her own garden, but like a huge one. And she's just like, oh.
Or like, yeah. Or yeah. The, whoever styled that.
Yeah.
And that's
I
the
love,
best
yeah.
part. I love that part.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like, yeah. She has a person to make sure she can take this wonderful photo.
Do your thing, Ma.
I mean,
do
it's kind
thing.
Of stunning that we're in our fifth season and bringing up Oprah for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I think that proves we're not doing a good job at, like, reading the zeitgeist because Oprah, like, creates the zeitgeist every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but, yeah, I mean, she like, picks what books are going to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
She now just picks what things, just nouns, what nouns will be popular for the next year. So what are some good ones on this year's list?
So I'm a comfort person. I don't know if you knew this about me, Jack.
Well, yeah,
I have noticed.
You only wear sweatpants.
Anna wears pajamas to work.
Look, you know.
Dress
so,
for the job you want.
Right now, the job I want is to be asleep. I would just like to be paid to sleep. Right now I'm looking at the Softies Women's Stretch Snuggle Lounger. Now, what you need to understand is Oprah lives on a different scale than us, so a lot of these things on this list are, you know, like $90 plus. Like, it's expensive. It's a lifestyle.
It's a Christmas gift. It's a once a year
yeah.
kind of thing.
So now this snuggle, it's basically a velour sweater that comes all the way down to your knees. Oh, it's got a cowl neck. It's got a kangaroo pocket. It looks insanely comfortable.
It does. I'm looking at this right now.
And it's literally visually the ugliest outfit I've ever
yes.
seen. But it is very comfortable.
It's yeah. for like the lazy person, like the lazy woman who just wants to flex on her guests. Like, welcome
right.
to my home.
It's like
exactly.
a slightly more attractive version of that Snuggie that had arms in it that you could
yeah.
wear.
Like, Slankit.
Yeah, Slankit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a hoodie put together. And,
right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like very comfortable clothes because Oprah, just like me, we have a lot in common.
Does she actually wear it? Do you ever catch her like
yes.
actually in some of this stuff? Like
yeah.
in the wild?
She usually is wearing mm-hmm. these things and like just like, cause of, especially in her Instagram, she's like, mm-hmm. this is the thing that I recommend and here's me using it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people send her their stuff because they know what Oprah's into because
right.
they want to get on this mm-hmm. list. Like this is like.
Yeah. Cause I know how real the Oprah effect was. Cause I know, like Toni Morrison actually, like she did an interview where she said she got a bigger boost from being on Oprah's mm-hmm. book list than she
mm-hmm.
did from winning a fucking Nobel Prize in literature.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but
yeah.
how many people of us know who's won a Nobel Prize every year?
Right.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
I guess that's true. Hmm.
Another
we're just talking shit about Nobel Prizes. Yeah. Who gives a shit about that irrelevant bullshit?
Care about your stream of consciousness bullshit. Oh, yeah.
So these are these look
so this
wildly
next this is another comfort piece that she put on her list is the Emu Women's Mayberry Slipper. It is a sheepskin slipper, but it's not a normal slipper. It has, it basically looks like a sandal that's like so furry and it like goes
like
over your feet, but your toes can stick out so you won't get overheated. It's honestly, it's quite genius.
Yeah.
And honestly, and what you're realizing is a lot of these things are all selling out like crazy amounts because like it's all on Amazon. People are on here. One click, you got it. And this slipper, I am actually considering buying this slipper. I was paid today, and I am going to go a little wild tonight.
These look like if you took like the rope belt of like a really nice robe, a bathrobe, and you just wrapped it around your foot. This is the look you got.
Yeah, I think there's ways to make all this stuff on your own.
Right.
But this is like fur.
Yeah.
Furry. I don't know what kind of robes you wear, Miles, but mine are not fur.
Well, y'all should
not
come through.
Not yet.
I will be live streaming from my home, so you can see
fur robe.
What that robe life
I
is about.
I think by the end of it, you'll end up looking like a bath mat.
Yeah.
When you wear, you got that OD, like, velour hoodie with the pouch, and you got your carpet feet. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I'm absorbent.
And with that, I will be laying on my yellow leaf hammock, which was also recommended by Oprah. Now, I am a hammock lady, and I bought a hammock this year, and let me tell you, it is the life.
Hammock life is a real thing. Hashtag hammock life.
Yeah, so you could argue, like, once again, me and Oprah have a lot in common. We're kind of getting a lot of the same vibes. So the hammock, it's a classic double hammock. Honestly, if you...
Sounds like you're selling, this shit now.
I love it.
You do sound like a hammock
salesman. I understand you guys, but I'm actually a lounge chair person.
Well, I'm sorry, Oprah did
what
not
is a double hammock, me. Real quick, before we get into lounge chair?
It basically it can hold up to 400 pounds, is what it is. And I bought
so one
American. Very ideal. Wow. Okay, valid.
So, talk about lounge chairs.
Well, there's no lounge chair available, so I don't know what I would. I don't know what to do since it's not our favorite thing.
Okay.
I guess I'm done having it as one of my favorite things.
Okay.
It's very rude for you to bring up something that wasn't on her list.
Real quick, one of Jack's favorite things from my list is bears and hammocks. Look up bears and hammocks on YouTube, you guys. There are some great videos. Bears just somehow, for some reason, I think there's like. Word got out in the forest because bears just keep trying to get into hammocks.
Word got
and
out
it's,
in the forest.
They are delightful.
I thought Jack was crazy because normally when he's like, hey, check this out, it's like some weird conspiracy shit. But yo, the bears look like they're having the best fucking
it's
time.
Like,
so I will co-sign that one.
It's
just search bear hammock. Anyway, back to Oprah. Do you think there's any pay for play involved? Like, look, we're
going to
you up.
I was just going to say that I don't
of course.
Think, I don't know because all of them are like, I feel like they're all caught off guard. They're all just like selling out immediately. So like, it's not like mm-hmm. she's
I don't
like
so.
Hooking
I think
up with
they're
them.
Given to her for free because she probably gets a bunch of stuff. And the whole concept of just getting on that list is enough.
But
I don't
think they do pay. I think it's advertising. So there's no way that.
You think so?
There's no way that a billionaire is promoting another product without getting any cutback from
well,
it.
I always thought that
just she can
gets
have like
it all.
She is a good businesswoman, so therefore, yes.
I'm sure she probably will get paid and be like, well, hold on, let me make sure it's up to Oprah standards.
Yeah, like she's not putting anything on there that she doesn't like, but there's no way and it will convince me that she's not getting money.
I just thought maybe she got like 300 Orbit cards to give to every person in the family.
I would be willing to bet that she chooses these without consulting the people themselves, and then maybe there's a thing where she's like, all right, look, I'm going to put you on my list, and they're like, oh, thank God, like, you can have a 20% of our company or whatever, but I don't think she would, like, you know, gamble with her brand by, like, just letting people taint her.
No,
by,
I don't think
like,
they taint it, but yeah, I think there is some kickback to her. Like, there has to be, because that's just who she is.
Because there are many, like, even, like, in Wall Street, like, they all know, like, the Oprah effect is real. Like, when she bought Weight Watchers, or, Steak and Weight Watchers, the stock went up 10%, like, that day.
I love bread. Bread
that's
is,
her, oh,
she
that
brought bread back.
Apparently, Oprah spent $43.2 million to buy 6.3 million shares at $6.79 a share. The original investment is now worth $263.3 million. So she made $220 million.
Salute.
From October to July.
That's great.
So that is what we call a good investment. Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about one last thing, which I think is just the most absurd thing on the list, is the Farmhouse Pottery Beehive Fatwood Crock Sticks.
And
basically,
fatwood bag.
There's a bag that comes with it. They're just sticks of beehive fatwood.
What the fuck is that?
Exactly. No, that is literally some rich people shit where you're like, what?
Yeah, that's, but you can tell.
Likes it.
Oh, okay, so what her quote is, Stedman thinks I'm a genius at building fires. My secret? These brilliant fire starters that sit on our hearth in their gorgeous rustic stoneware crock, which was hand-thrown in Vermont.
That would be hilarious if somebody just walks into the room like, you're really good at building fires.
You are a genius at building fires.
It sounds like somebody like, you're an arsonist.
No.
No, I've just been using these beehive fat.
The subtext is like, she's just always playing with fire at her house. And Stedman's like, you still fucking burning shit over there?
You just burnt the guest room that I'm staying in again.
Oh yeah, so
those are all things that we're gonna be seeing out there in the zeitgeist. Beehive fatwood, get ready, motherfuckers. Beehive fatwood upside your head. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Anna Hosnia.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'll see you guys
can go
next
back to sleep.
Year.
Put your eye mask back on.
Solomon Giorgio, it's been so fun to have you on. Where can people find you?
I can be found at my website, which is thesolomongiorgio.com. And I also have an album out. That's another thing that I should probably mention.
With the most glamorous cover, I must say.
Oh, thank you so much. Comedy Central Records, it is called Homo Negro Superior. Homo Negro, if you can't spell with accents. that's out right now. And it's available on iTunes and Spotify and every readily available thing in the world.
Solomon, spelled with all O's, and then mm-hmm. Giorgio, spelled how you would expect it to be spelled.
No, actually, it's spelled wrong. It's G-E-O-R-G-I-O.
Oh, that's how I would have spelled it.
It's supposed to be spelled G-I-O-R-G-I-O.
Oh, really?
Okay. Giorgio.
I would have gone George. I-O.
I-O.
I-O. Miles Gray. It's also been fun having you.
Thank
it was
you so
all right.
Much. Yes.
Where can people find you?
You can actually find me looking through this Oprah list a little bit more, because it looks like a lot of things that actually intersect with my lifestyle, but also on Instagram and Twitter, at Miles of Gray.
Awesome. You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien, I-E-N. And we are going to drop an extra episode today, you guys.
Uh-oh.
We're trying out a different schedule this week. We usually drop episodes the morning before at midnight. Now we're going to be recording the day of. So the news will be hotter, fresher. The zeitgeist will be zeitgeistier. But we're dropping an extra episode this Monday afternoon/evening. And we will be talking about, this was our weekend episode, and, this evening we will be talking about Monday's news. That's gonna do it for us at the Daily Zeitgeist. You can, find us at the Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. The Daily Zeitgeist is their Facebook fan page. We are on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist, and our website is just dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We have, links to all the stuff we talked about today, including that Oprah list, because you probably don't know where to find that yourself. And that's going to do it for today. We will be back later on today because we are a daily podcast. Thanks.